Amen. If we'd open our Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And we'll read from verse 51 and then we'll go to prayer. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 51. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruptible, or incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. Let's just bow our heads in prayer. Dear Father, we read these few words of your Apostle Paul, knowing that he was vindicated by you, your presence, your pillar of fire, vindicating his words. And we look at this statement where he said, must put on immortality. And so we find it is not only a command, but it is part of your purpose and plan, your great purpose for being here, to bring forth immortality in these bodies. And so, Father, we commit ourselves to that process, knowing that you came with a shout. You came with a declaration of who you are and why you're here. And Lord, knowing that your prophet said, my ministry is to declare him that he is here, we know there's two things there, a declaration of you, Father, and your reason for being here. And we know that there's a purpose and a plan behind that, Father, because you don't do things just to do them. You don't put on a show for no man. And so we realize, Father, that there's a very purpose for our knowing you. And Lord, we just want to know you more. And Father, we just pray that you would open our hearts, Lord, and our minds to the great revelation of who you are and why you are here, for we ask it humbly in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Now, Sunday morning, our message was on character. We looked at character and how our character is influenced from above. And in fact, we found that Brother Branham made a strong case for what we are here. He said, for what we are here is only a reflection of what we are somewhere else. And we showed where he said that the only thing that we would take with us is our character. And therefore, we should be striving for the mastery of our character to bring into conformity with the pull of the Holy Spirit that is within us. Now, from the Church Age book, Brother Branham said in chapter 9, he said, listen to me, naked physically we came into the world, but naked spiritually we will not leave it. Oh no, we are going to take something with us. What that something is all that we can take with us, nothing less and nothing more. So we had better be real careful now to see that we take something that will make us right before God. So then, what will we take with us? We will take our character, brother. That is what we will take with us. Now, what kind of a character will you take with you? Will it be like his, whose character was molded by suffering in the fiery furnace of affliction? Or will it be the softness of this characterless Laodicean people? It is up to each one of us, for in that day every man will bear his own burden. We then found in the scripture much evidence that we will not only receive a body change, but we have a celestial body already waiting. Already waiting the change of this body to join together with it, to bring forth the glorified body that we will have throughout the rest of eternity. And as we read for our text tonight, Paul said, behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep. In other words, not all of us are going to die, but we all shall be changed. In the moment and twinkling of an eye at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, the dead in Christ shall be raised incorruptible. And we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. Then we found that there's a body that we already have, which Paul likens to a celestial body, and we find that in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, and reading from verse 1. For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, that's this body if it dies, we have a building of God and house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this we groan earnestly, desiring to be clothed upon with our house which is from heaven. If so be that being clothed, we shall not be found naked. For we that are in this tabernacle do groan, being burdened, not for that we would be unclothed, but clothed upon, that mortality might be swallowed up of life. Notice then, that mortality, now what's mortality? What is mortality? Huh? Sure, it's this mortal being, and this mortal being has a time limit. But notice, this mortality might be swallowed up of life. Now, this having our mortality swallowed up of life suggests to us that our bodies will be so saturated with eternal life until every fiber of our being will radiate with God life, or we will be completely submersed in God life. Now, if I swallow something, what happens to it, Peter? It goes down. Can you see it? It's completely surrounded by what? This life, this body, right? And Paul says that our mortality, this body, this being, body, soul, spirit, will be swallowed up of something greater than this, which is God life. So as I said, now this having our mortality swallowed up of life suggests to us that our bodies will be so saturated with eternal life until every fiber of our being will radiate with God life, or we will be completely submersed in God life. If you swallow something, it is totally submersed into your being. And the life Paul is speaking of is eternal life, and there's only one form of eternal life, and that is God life. Therefore, Paul is telling us that our beings will come to the place where we are so saturated with God life that our beings will be completely immersed, as if to be swallowed completely by God life or into God life. And that is what I want to be. I hope that's what you want to be. Now, we found the process of this God life taking over our mortal life comes by a renewing of the mind, as we see in Romans chapter 12. So if you turn with me to Romans chapter 12, and we read from verse 1, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, or as the NIV would put it, which is your reasonable act of worship, which is your spiritual act of worship. And be not conformed to this world, but be you transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Now I want you to notice that Paul is speaking of a process of our being transformed, and he tells us it comes by the renewing of our minds. He is not speaking of an inner transformation, or he would not have used the Greek word metamorpho, which means to change into another form, and is specific to the physical statue. This does not speak of an inner transformation as though we are changed from an angry man to a gentle man, or that sort of thing. It speaks of the outward body changing its form. The root word here is morph, which means the form by which the person or thing strikes the vision, and speaks of external appearance. Now, for this reason, Paul is telling us that it takes an inner change to bring on this outer change. Therefore, when he speaks of transformation, he is speaking of a body change as a result of a mind change. And this is confirmed by further thoughts in this regard in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. So if we turn to 2 Corinthians now, and reading from chapter 4, Paul says, for which cause, verse 16, for which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. And how does this inward man become renewed? Paul tells us in the book of Ephesians that it is a process that begins in the mind. Well, let's turn to Ephesians then, chapter 4, and reading from verse 21. Notice he says, if so be that we have heard him, and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. So where does the renewal begin? In the spirit of your mind, that you may put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. So we're talking then about a renewal process which begins in the mind. And do not forget, Brother Branham, always remember, Brother Branham says, as Jesus came, so must we come. Now, notice, if God had not entered Jesus, lived
in Jesus, quickened him, and then raised him up. He wouldn't have been raised up. He said, if the same Spirit that dwelt in Christ be in you, it'll quicken your mortal body. Alright? So, now we're talking then. He says, let's see here. And be renewed in the spirit of your mind. So, here we go. We've got the body. We got the spirit. And we have the soul right here. All right. Now, notice that in this realm, it's your thoughts. When you think of the mind, do you think of fibers and tissues like a brain? No. When you think of the mind, are you thinking brain or are you thinking a mind which is conceptual, spiritual? Now, notice he says, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, that you may put on the new man. All right, so what? Something transpires in this realm that puts on a new man. Not the same man dressed up.
A new man. Now, let's go back to Ephesians chapter 2. And let's read 14 to 15. Notice. Excuse me, I'm the wrong. All right. For he is our peace, who hath made both one, and hath broken down the middle part wall of partition between us, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandment, contained in ordinances, for to make in himself, that's the key, to make in himself a two, one new man, so making peace. Now, we read the quote the other night, and I don't think I have it here, where Brother Branham said, basically he's quoting, and he said, notice they couldn't understand him because two people were talking. One person, he said, was the Son, and the other person was the Father who was in the Son. Now, notice what Paul says here. He says he makes a new man. So we're talking about Paul says, put on the new man. All right. How did Jesus put on the new man? God came into him. God quickened him in the spirit. And now, by having God life and his own life, you now had a new man. That's what the new birth is all about, right? Okay. Now, notice in Paul says, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, that you may put on the new man, which after God is created, notice in what? What does it say there? It's created in what? Ephesians 4:21. 4:23. And be renewed in the spirit of your mind, that you may put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness. What is righteousness? Right now, and what is that? It's a correct understanding. So notice then, that the new man is created in a right understanding and true holiness. So therefore, there's something about a right understanding that begins the whole process. That's why it takes place in the mind. Now, this is going to get better. And by what means can our minds become renewed? And by what power, or what has the power to not only renew the mind, but to bring forth the transformation process that ends in a body change? Well, there's only one power so great as to renew our mind, the spirit of our mind, and continue to bring forth a body change, and that is the Word of God, which is the power of God. Was that Romans 1:11? The Word of God, no, 1:16. The Word of God is the power of God unto salvation. You see? All right. Well, let's turn to Colossians then and see what else Paul has to say about this. We turn to Colossians, we read from verse 9. Paul says, lie not one to another, seeing that you have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. So, now this process we find begins. Paul says, put on the new man. Notice, put on
New man. I used to wear a hairpiece that was called new man. But that's not what he's talking about. Okay? Because he says this new man is renewed in the spirit of your mind. Now, notice then, there's something about this renewing of the spirit of your mind, Paul says in Colossians, which is renewed in knowledge. After the image of him that created him. So, now, Paul gives us another clue. Because remember, he said the new man is brought forth in righteousness. He says, what was that? And be renewed in the spirit of your mind, that you may put on the new man which after God is created in righteousness. So this new man is created in right, wiseness, or the correct word. Correct understanding of God. Now, notice then. In Colossians he says, and hath put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. So this knowledge then is of God, the Creator. So not just any knowledge will do. Now notice how Paul's getting more specific, specific, specific. In fact, that word he uses, so much so, that word Paul uses, knowledge there, is a Greek word, epigenosis. Epigenosis. Now, so we see that this renewal comes about by receiving into our minds a certain knowledge. Not just any knowledge will do. And not just any knowledge will do, because the word that Paul uses here is a Greek word, epigenosis, which means a precise and correct knowledge. So, this knowledge has got to be precise and correct. Now, what does the word precise mean? Jeremy, something that's precise. Okay, it's exact. It's an exact. Now, look, if I said, okay, Michael, would you park your car in front of the door and you park it over here? Is that precise? Of course not. All right. Precise has to do with precision. Being exact. Not one word off. Not one jot off. Not one tittle off. But an exact knowledge of the Creator. Now, notice again. Paul used the Greek word epigenosis, which means a precise and correct knowledge. And therefore, he's speaking of what takes place when that precisely correct knowledge of God comes into the mind. That is why understanding the Godhead correctly, and not only correctly, but precisely correct, is so crucial to our receiving a body change. For without having this precise and correct knowledge of the Creator, we will have no way to receive a change of the body. Our body change is then dependent upon receiving the precisely correct understanding of the Godhead. He said, when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. Therefore, we need a perfect understanding to put away this imperfect flesh. You see? And to bring on the body change that will take on the perfect, glorified condition that was in the perfect mind of a perfect God before the earth was formed. You see the importance of what we've been looking at for the last... However... The whole Christian world has it all wrong. They are looking for something to come out of the blue skies at the blinding speed of light, that they will receive a change for no reason at all except that they have confessed John 3:16 and they have recited the four steps to salvation. And they're expecting God because I have recited the four steps of salvation. You know, I'll have to admit, I don't even know what they are or what they claim they are. But what they claim they are is what God claims they are. Four is not even one of God's word. God don't use fours. He's perfect in three, complete in seven.
You see? But that's according to their understanding of it. But that is sheer madness to think in such terms. God's way was to have an epiphania to attract our minds and our attention to Him. He came down, His presence is here, but what good did it do anyone if they didn't know it? So He brings forth of His power in demonstration and manifestation, showing the world that He has returned to the earth. Then once He has gotten our attention, He begins to declare Himself to those who are willing to stand still long enough to learn. Once He has gotten our attention and He begins to declare Himself through His prophet messenger, the words spoken from His mouth or the mouth of the Lord, His prophet, they begin to unveil Him in His full nature and the expression of His being. Remember Paul said that, Paul quoting God, he said that I will do a great work in your day, though a man declare it to you, but the people won't listen to it anyway. And we're there. Now, so the prophet begins to unveil Him in His full nature and expression of being. He unveils His Godhoodedness. He unveils Himself to us in order to bring forth this precise and correct knowledge. He calls this, we call this the apocalypsis and the phanero of God, this unveiling. Thus God fully discloses Himself to His elect with the purpose in His mind and set forth in His plan that our receiving His full disclosure, this precise and correct knowledge of Him, is the thing that will bring on a renewing of the spirit of the mind. And thus begins the process of a body change in our very beings, as laid out by the Apostle Paul and confirmed in this hour by God's end-time prophet William Branham. From trying to do God a service without His will, Brother Branham said, He stirs it right into His Word to make it live. And if you were ordained from the beginning of the earth to that Word, then every word will come right on top of word. Like a human cell will not have one human cell and the next dog cell and the next a cat cell. It'll be human cells. But it's got to have a cell first to start with. Is that right? Say amen. Well, if it's the word cell to start with, then the other word cells are ordained to make it a full body. You see? Now, to make it a full body. From the rapture, he said, when a germ comes into the womb of the female, you don't become a human germ from your father, and the next thing you become a germ from a dog, and the next thing from a cat, and the next thing from a chicken. It was all human germ. And the body of Jesus Christ, the bride, will be part of His body, which will, He was the Word, and the bride will have to be the Word. Word added to Word added to Word. Luther's justification, Wesley's sanctification, Pentecostal baptism of the Holy Spirit, restoration of the gifts, and all the rest of it goes with it. It's got to be word on top of word, germ on top of germ, life on top of life, to bring out the full statue of the bride of the Lord Jesus Christ. And again, from modern events made clear by prophecy, Brother Branham said, when people hear the word of God, now notice here the comparison Brother Branham is making. He says, when people hear the word of God, when a baby is conceived in the womb of the mother, when that one cell goes in there, another cell builds upon it. It's not one cell a human, the next a dog, the next a cat, the next of something else. It's absolutely straight human being. And when a man's born of the Spirit of God, he don't inject anything into this life, or his life. It's unadulterated Word of God vindicated for that hour. He doesn't compromise a bit. See? He takes the full Word of God. He don't put no creeds, nothing else to it. It's purely unadulterated God's Word made manifest among us. Now we find the process of the body change also spoken of in the book of Ezekiel. So if you turn with me to the book of Ezekiel, chapter 36, verse 26. He says, a new heart also will I give you, God is speaking, and a new spirit will I put within you. And I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you an heart of flesh, and I will put my spirit within you, and cause you to walk in my statutes, and ye shall keep my judgments, and ye shall do them. Notice the very purpose of God bringing on a change first of the heart, then of our spirit, and then promising to fill us with His own Spirit. It's for one purpose and one motive, and that is that we will walk in His statutes and judgments. Notice He said, I will put my Spirit within you. And notice what God said He will do. And, notice. And what is and? It's a conjunction. And by doing this, by placing in you my Spirit, it will cause you. It will compel you to walk in my statutes. And again, he says. And remember, and is a conjunction, so we must ask, and what? And ye shall keep my judgments, and, notice here's another and,
another conjunction, and it will cause you to do them. Do what? Do my statutes and my judgments. In other words, it will cause you to live out my word. To become the manifested word in your age. Now, what is this new heart and new spirit then that we receive before we receive His Spirit from us, or His Spirit in us? From the message impersonation of Christianity, Brother Branham is speaking of Ezekiel 36, where God is speaking of our receiving a new heart, then a new spirit, and then His own spirit entering into us. He says, so God had to give you a new heart, not a patched up one, a new heart. That's your intellect that you think with, a new way of thinking. Then He gives you a new way of thinking. So we see then that the beginning of this new man has got to come by a new way of thinking. That's called the new heart. You see? Now, notice Brother Brown here tells us that the heart is a new way of thinking. Or in other words, a new mindset. Then he takes this thought one step further by telling us what the new spirit is. Then Brother Branham goes on to tell us what the new spirit is when he says, then he said after that, then I'll give you a new spirit. And what's that? A new desire. I want to do right. Not just a new desire for anything, but a new desire to do what? The right wiseness. To do what is that right wiseness. See, notice he said that your spirit... He said you would be renewed in the spirit of your mind according to right wiseness. After right wiseness. So the right wiseness brings on a right action. You see? Now, notice. Because the action follows the desire. If you get the right thought, then you get the right desire, then you get the right action. Hearing... recognizing and then acting upon the Word of God. You see? Brother Branham's message. Now, so we see that God brings us a new understanding first. This is that precise and correct knowledge of Him. That is what begins the process of the renewal in the inner man. That is what brings forth the change of the mind. Then when the mind is changed, your desires change with it, conforming to the correct and precise knowledge of Him. That is our change in the Spirit. Brother Van called it a welcoming spirit, but that welcoming spirit is not the Holy Spirit. But we need to have that welcoming spirit in order for the Holy Spirit to feel welcome. Then finally, when He is totally welcome, He brings His own spirit and places it in us to finish what He has begun by His Word, coming into us and quickening us and making His Word alive to us and in us. Now, some people mix this welcoming spirit up, thinking that they have received the Holy Spirit, and they stop right there. Brother Branham said in the sermon called Why Some People Can't Keep Victory, he said, yes, that's what we need today is experience of the new birth. Now, I want you to watch the order that Ezekiel brought it in. He said, I will give you a new heart, and I'll give you a new spirit, and I'll put my spirit in you. Now, I want you to watch. There's three there. A new heart. I'll take the old stony heart away. That's old, different heart you have. And I'll give you a new spirit. Now, how many times, and there's been a terrible mistake, the people has thought sometimes that that new spirit was the Holy Spirit, but it isn't. It's a new spirit. God gives you a new. Why, you couldn't even get along with yourself, with your old spirit. How are you going to get along with the Holy Spirit? Now, that's true. The older you get, the more, you know, grumpier you get, or you know, just kind of cantankerous you get. Brother Barron said, look, and he said, if you can't even get along with your own spirit, how are you going to get along with the Holy Spirit? So what do you need? You need that welcoming spirit. And the only way the welcoming spirit comes, it doesn't come from meditation. It doesn't come from being good and thinking right or doing right. It comes from the right word. And if you have the right word, you realize that you are no big thing. There's no big I's and little U's in this message. There's only one big one, and that's God. And when you recognize the sovereignty of God, and the solitariness of God, and that God is supreme, then it makes you humble. And if you're not humble in the sight of God, He won't lift you up. He said, humble yourselves in the sight of God, and He shall exalt thee in due season. So, all right. And finally, when He is totally welcome. He brings His own Spirit and places it in us to finish what He has begun by His Word coming into us and quickening us and making His Word alive to us and in us. As I said, some people mix up that welcoming Spirit by thinking it's the Holy Spirit, but it's not. And we read you where Brother Bram said the people has
thought sometimes that the new spirit was the Holy Spirit, but it isn't. It's a new spirit. He said, well, you couldn't even get along with yourself with your old spirit. How are you going to get along with the Holy Spirit? God had to give you a new spirit so you could get along with His Spirit. And sometimes people, a new heart, a heart of flesh. See? So you will receive it. Then a new spirit in that heart. And then I'll put my spirit in that. See? You see? New heart, new spirit, and my spirit. Three things He spoke of. And from the sermon impersonation of Christianity, He said, then notice the order of the Scripture. After you get a new heart and a new spirit, He said, then I'll put my spirit, see, or what? That's what the Scripture says here. That's the order, the pneumatics, or the numerical order of the Scripture. A new heart, a new spirit, and then my spirit. So you see Paul teach us in Ephesians 1 and 2 about the quickening process that begins the whole transformation process. Notice in Ephesians 2 and 1, he says, and you have he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and in sin. Now the word quickened means to make alive again. The God life that he had, that we had in him. Alright, that word quickened means animated or reanimated. Animation coming into these bodies, the soul being quickened, begins the process of our returning to the way that God planned before the foundations of the earth for us to dwell in his presence for all eternity. Now we're talking about the precise and correct, or precisely correct knowledge of God, the Creator. That's what does it. It is the revelation of Jesus Christ that begins this process in us. We are quickened or made alive by a living Word. David, a man after God's own heart, he knew how this process of God works. In Psalm 119 and verse 50, he said, this is my comfort in my affliction, for thy Word hath quickened me. And verse 93 says, and I will never forget thy precepts, for with them thou hast quickened me. Notice in 2 Peter. 2 Peter chapter 1. And 2 to 4. He says, grace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus Christ our Lord. According as his divine power, that's his word, hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godlikeness, through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that's his word, that by these, what? The word, you might be made partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Now, what was that corruption? That's his corruptible body. What brought it on? Lust. Eve and the serpent. You see? But what brings the divine nature, the word, the precise and correct knowledge of the divine? You see? Okay. In 1 Peter 1 and verse 22, seeing that you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned, not pretended love of the brethren, see that you love one another with a pure heart fervently, being born again, not of a corruptible seed, but of an incorruptible, by the Word of God, which what? What about that Word? Which liveth and abideth forever. Okay, so it's a living and abiding Word. When that living and abiding Word comes in you, what happens? It begins growing the body. It begins bringing cell upon cell upon cell. You see? Now, notice Peter here tells us that it is a living Word that begins this process called the new birth in us. And we know our birth is a life that is coming forth into manifestation or into view. Notice even Paul tells us in 2 Thessalonians that it all begins by our believing the truth, which is that precise and correct knowledge of the Creator. In 2 Thessalonians 2 verse 13 we read, but we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth. And again, in Ephesians 1 and verse 11, he says, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will, that we should be to the praise of his glory who first trusted in Christ, in whom ye also trusted after that you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that you believed, what happened? You were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. Notice again, it is the believing the truth, that precise and correct knowledge of God that begins the whole process toward receiving our redemptive and glorified body. Like I spoke of last Sunday,
When the word strikes, that light strikes that seed. That word is life. And it is anointed word. It is a living word. And when it strikes the seed, it's like taking a picture. The shutter opens up. It exposes the soil, the good soil that the seed was sown in. It exposes it. And when that light impregnates then into that, there's an image on the negative. Then as it lays in the presence of the sun by the washing of water by the word, the process, it develops the image. You see? Now, and again, notice then, again it is the believing of the truth, that precise and correct knowledge of God, that begins the whole process towards receiving our redemptive and glorified body. Now from the entombment, Brother Rand said, our own life is just a pattern. It's just a shadow and not the real thing. It's the negative side. It takes death to develop the picture, to put us back in the theophany that we come from. Then in the resurrection, we will come in His likeness, a resurrected body. What a beautiful, not only beautiful, but it's the real, solemn truth of God's eternal Word that will be like Him. And from questions and answers, Brother Barron said, now, what you are here, now get this in your mind now, I'm going to close, but what you are here is a sign that you are something else somewhere. You've always wanted to be in perfection, you Christians. There is a perfection, and that perfection is not in this life. But every man and woman here that is a Christian, every person that is a Christian here now, is already glorified in the presence of Jesus Christ, and you've got another body. You won't have some other, you have right now. Right now, there's another body waiting for you if this one should perish. Now, could you think of that? Study that for just a moment. Well, that's tremendous. Then what is that other body as an influence doing upon this body? Because Brother Vance said, if your deeds are evil, it shows where your other body's at. In fact, I'll say this much, it shows that you don't have another body. You ain't going to have a glorified body if you don't make it. Because glorified is talking about the doxa, the very mind of God. Those people, I don't believe they're going to have a glorified body. I believe they're going to have a soul that's tormented. And maybe they'll be brought, these bodies will be raised up that they're in now, these beast bodies. And that's what they're going to have. Can you imagine being stuck with this thing? For age to age to age? And facing the flames of of the vengeance of God? And can you imagine? When you imagine just within families even, or within friendships, so-called friendships, or even in church groups, and all the backbiting and stabbing and all that goes on, can you imagine being with those kind of people for eternity? Or for, not eternity, because they'll eventually be dissolved, but can you imagine? Can you imagine being a friend of the Clintons? For ages and ages and ages, and all the knives you're going to get in your back, when they're vying for position with the devil in the lake of fire. They'll all be looking for a little bit of shade. And they'll push you closer to the flames so they can stand behind you. I mean, look, that's the kind of people that are going to be there. Well, from questions and answers, Brother Anderson, what you are here, get this in your mind, I'm going to close, but what you are here is a sign that you are somewhere else. Now, Romans 8:29. For whom He did, that means it's already been done. For whom He did foreknow, He also did, that means that's already been done, predestinate, to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren, or that He might be the eldest in the vast family of brothers. Moreover, whom He did, that means it's already been done, predestinate. Then He also called, that means it's already been done. And whom He also called, or whom He called, past tense. Then He also justified, that's already past tense. And whom He justified, that's past tense. Then He also glorified, that's past tense. Therefore, it's finished. It's done. Jesus cried on the cross. It is finished. You can't change the outcome, no matter how hard you try. Either you were in Him or you're not. And if you're in Him, you're drawn by the Word to Him. That's why we come tonight. We want more of Him. We want to be closer to Him. See? Now, this word conform comes from the Greek word symorphos, and it means conform to, fashion like unto, having the same form as another, similar to, describes what is the essence in character. And thus complete or durable, not merely a form or an outline. In other words, when he says to be conformed to the image, he's talking about the very character that was in Jesus Christ is in you and I. And that's the only thing we're taking with us. You know, look, I'd be glad to get rid of this body. It's trouble. I got a problem with eyes. Finally, I called this place. You know, they say the see more clearly method. I'm going to try it. I said, and I asked a woman, she was an older woman on the phone, and I said, you wouldn't happen to have anything for hair, would you? And how about an obese waistline? I said, I'm having trouble with middle age. It's happening to me, and I don't like it. I said, so if I get my eyes fixed, she said, well, if you get your eyes fixed, she said, you won't worry about that either. I said, well, yeah, but then I'll be able to see it more. So, you know, at least if I can't see it, you know, I can be happy. I can just feel a couple of little threads up there and think, well, I got some hair, but, you know, if I have good eyesight, I won't be able to see it. So I'm going to have to work on those other things. But we have a promise. Brother Bradham said that it's not lost. You know, it just might be misplaced right now, I guess. Anyway, 1 John 3:2, beloved, not only are we the sons of God, and doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, that's his phaneru, we shall be like him, for we shall appear, we shall be as he is. We shall see him as he is. Notice it said, now we are. Not in the future, we are already sons. And notice he says, when we see him in his phaneru. Now what does the word phaneru mean? Manifested in his true character. True and precise. Perfectly correct and precise character. From God, rich in mercy, Brother Brown said, now, if you've got eternal life tonight, if we have eternal life, then we always were, because there's only one form of eternal life, we always were. And the reason we were, because we are a part of God. And finally, in closing, we come to paragraph 112 of Who is this Melchizedek? And actually, you know, usually I start out with the paragraph and then we go on. Tonight we're going to end with the paragraph so that we can go on Sunday. All right? But notice how, we'll read this and then we'll meet on Sunday and dwell further upon these thoughts. Now, Brother Brown says from paragraph 112. Now, we see here plainly the complete secret of our lives in journey. Now, can we say that we've seen that tonight? That whole start. Why has God revealed himself? Why has he declared himself? Why has he given us a precise and correct understanding of his Godhead? Of who he is? Who came down? All these things. Brother Brown said, now we see here plainly, what? In understanding Melchizedek. Now we see here plainly the complete secret of our lives in journey and death, and where we go after we die. Also, predestination is in plain view here. Now listen as we teach this closely. The stages of the eternal purpose that he had in his secret has now been revealed. Notice there is still three stages to perfection, just like he redeems the world. Same way he redeems his church. He redeems the people in three stages. Now look, first it's justification. What is justification? It's a revelation, isn't it? What's a revelation? It's in the mind, isn't it? Didn't Brother Bram say it begins with a mental revelation, I think is the word, or something like that. Mental faith. Here it is. I think I have the quote back here. Okay, Brother Bram says it begins with a mental faith. Coming to your mental faith, what's faith? It's revelation, right? Coming to your mental faith, right here comes the Holy Spirit, coming down into your mental faith, making it a spiritual faith, then the spiritual faith only recognizes the Word. So it begins with mental faith. Okay, now, notice then, Brother Bram continues. Now look, first it's justification like Luther preached. Second, sanctification like Wesley preached. Third, baptism of the Holy Spirit. That's right. Then comes the rapture. Now, the world, how did he redeem the world? The first, what he did, when it sinned, he washed it off with water. That's baptism. Then he dropped his blood upon it from the cross and sanctified it and called it his own. And then what does he do? As he tore all the world out of you and renovated the whole thing by the fiery baptism of the Holy Spirit, he also will renovate the world. And it'll be burnt over with fire and cleanse every germ for millions of miles high, and everything will be cleansed off, and then there is a new heaven and a new earth, just like that you are a new creature in Christ Jesus when the Holy Spirit takes a hold of you. See, you're a new creature when the Holy Spirit takes a hold of you. What did Jesus become? A new creature when God entered him. You see? See, there you are. The whole thing's just as plain as it can be. Oh, this is tremendous. Because when we can recognize that what is taking place, why do we sit here and study the Word and go back and forth and back and forth so that we have a precise, Why do we sit and talk the Word? So that we can kind of clip off our misunderstandings. We talk back and forth, and we talk the Word so that we can get out of us any misunderstanding. Because He said, if you be any otherwise minded, God would reveal it to you. And so when He said there's a group of people who feared the Lord, thought often upon Him, and spoke often one to another, and the Lord hearkened and made a book of remembrance. And He said, and I'll give them discernment. Now how does the discernment come? It comes from talking the Word, because you get such a precise and correct knowledge of God that anything off of that won't do. And you recognize it real quick. Well, what's it doing for you? Well, I'm losing a lot of friends. That's true. Losing a lot of people in church. That's true. Jesus did too. But what's it doing for you? It's bringing the character of God in me. And it's bringing me to the point where live, die, sink, or swim. I'm going home. I'm in the process of a body change. I can't help it. When I go to that other dimension, there's going to be a whole lot of people ain't going to go with me. There's going to be some of you that are. I believe all of you are. We're all going in a body change. We're going to receive a body change. We're going into another dimension. But you know that you're going to know an awful lot of people. They ain't going to go to that dimension with you. That's right. They're already starting to dimensionally move away. You know what they call it? Dementia. You ever heard the word dementia? What's that to do with? The mind. You see? The mind. And that's what's happening. We're being renewed in the spirit of a mind. And what's happening? You're beginning already to be drawn up into Christ. That's what separation is all about. It's not that we're not doing the separating. I haven't seen one of us pull away from fellowship with anybody. Have you? Who separates? The ones that can't come into that dimension with you. Wow. That says it all. What's happening to us? Body change. Transformation. Inner man being renewed. The character of God Himself coming in, taking over. And what's happening? A new man. Remember Jesus, Paul said, of these two, He created one new man. And the same thing happens with you and I. The Spirit of God comes into you, and you and God become a new creature in Christ. Let's just bow our heads in prayer. Father, we thank You, Lord, because we can see it. I know that we can see it. And Father, it's such a wonderful blessing to know that the body changes in the process. That the mind has been renewed and being transformed and renewed daily. That cell upon cell is adding to that glorified body. That this old body, this death, is not going to hold us back. But one of these days soon, I believe, we're going to receive a body change. Will there be any looking back? I don't think so. But Father, as Your prophet said, there will be a certain period of time where we'll be allowed to spend with each other before Your Son arrives on the scene. That we'll know who made it, who didn't. And then Your prophet said, what a time of worship that'll be. Now, Father, we pray that You'd bring every last one in that You've ordained to come in. And we pray that, Lord, for our families, that we might apply that token, believing, Lord, that there's not a one of them that You ordained will be left behind. And so, Lord, help us to have Your mind. For we ask it in Jesus' name. And knowing that only we can have Your mind, because it's a genetic thing. And Your DNA is in us. Your character, Your nature is in us by the new birth. Nothing that we've manufactured, nothing we've put on. A lot of people try to fake it. But you can't fake a transformation of the body. You might fake a renewing of the mind, but you'll never fake the body change. And so, Father, we just pray that You'd help us to have that great gift to let go and to let God. As Your prophet said, the greatest of all gifts is just to get ourselves out of the way and let You have preeminence. For we ask it in Jesus' precious name. Knowing that He who was of a nature brought forth into this world, He had His own thinking, He had His own
physical being to reckon with, his own spirit, his own soul, but he just laid it all aside and allowed you to come in and complement that nature and bring it forth until a new man stood there, a God-man. And Father, we thank you in Jesus' name.